Amen. All right, open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. Actually, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter... Well, that's okay, 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll go to Matthew chapter 7 here real quick, too. We're going to talk about the sons of the Darwinian evolution. All right? What fruit did it produce? What in men? What kind of men did that produce? Well, it produced two men, Aldous... Did I say his name right? Aldous? Did I say it right, brother? All right. Aldous and Julian Huxley and their Crowley connection, their Aleister Crowley connection, because there's a connection to the beast, who the self-proclaimed beast, Aleister Crowley, 666 himself. How were these men all connected, and why would Aleister Crowley have anything to do with the sons of the evolution revolution? Good question. I'm going to change that name, by the way, to the Sons of the Evolution Revolution. But anyway, I'll do that in the title later. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Why do people believe in evolution? Scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Well, I want to follow every lustful thing in my life, so I cannot believe there's a God, because if I do, then I must accept that God's authority, and I do not want to do that. So I will scoff at the truth, and I will walk after my own lusts. It's pretty easy as that. You know, God's got an answer for all these jokers out there that blaspheme him. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But isn't that what they say? That they say, people say out there, oh, when's he coming back? Yeah, Jesus is coming back. When's he coming back? Oh, my friend, you don't want him to come back right now. You want to be saved. You don't want him to step down. You don't want him to come back. You don't want that. Not right now. Not in the condition you're in. That's why we're here to warn you. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Do you see that? It says willingly are ignorant of. It's willing. Willful ignorance, right? That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. Just like your salvation. Amen. Just like you. How are you kept? By the power of God. Amen. I know some of these guys doubt the power of God. I don't understand that. I hear these Pelagians, these other people that you can lose your salvation, all this stuff, you lose all this. But you know, why don't you believe what the Bible says, who are kept by the power of God? You who are kept by the power of God. I don't know. I don't think they understand what it means to be a son of God. Well, you know what the Bible says. Then are you bastards and not sons? I think maybe we got a whole lot of bastards and not sons, and that's what the problem is. Amen? Reserved under the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What did the Bible say about those ungodly men? They shake their fist at God. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 16 talks about fruit, and that's what I want you to go to now. It talks about the fruit of this. Amen? The fruit of their error, and the fruit of what they are. And listen, ye shall know them by their fruits. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 16. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You know, it's so sad when you're out on the streets and these people look at you, they say, God don't judge. God don't judge. God don't judge. What do you mean? The Bible says, I turn to Genesis and I show them, well, the Bible says, shall the judge of all the earth do right? I'll do right. Yeah, I, the Lord, love judgment. He's the judge, capital J. What do you mean he doesn't judge? Yeah, he is the judge. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And what is the fruit of evolution? What is the fruit of it? What are the sons of the evolution revolution? Who are they? Well, two of the main ones we're going to talk about here. Julian Huxley, the father of UNESCO. the New World Order arm. That's exactly what it is, the New World, the father of UNESCO. And let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray that you'd bless us now. Help us, Lord, to understand how this religion, this Luciferian religion of evolution, has led into this New World Order out in the open now. Lord, they're not hiding anything. They're out in the open. And they're shaking their fists at heaven. And dear God, I pray that we would preach down their wickedness, Lord. And I pray if they won't repent, you'd bring them down to the depths of hell, that they would know that you are the Lord God. Lord, I pray that you'd use us to preach this truth in all the world, Lord, that men may be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Julian Huxley was the son, or the grandson, excuse me, of Thomas Huxley. Okay, and Thomas Huxley, we know he was Darwin's bulldog, right? He was the bulldog for Darwin. He was the one that went out. He was the evangelist of evolution. And he went out and he was the Gestapo. He was part of that Gestapo to shut down. Well, then they shut it down. But then the next phase of this, in order to take over the world in a one world government, the next phase is you have to control education. You have to control the arm of education. You have to push and preach a new world order. But you have to have an arm to do that. So what came up? The United Nations. The League of Nations came up. So that made it possible, and UNESCO, also an arm of that, the United Nations, made it possible for them to propagate their one world government in preparing for the Antichrist. So two of Huxley's grandsons achieved notoriety in their own right in the promotion of skepticism, they called it. Course. Julian Huxley, an atheist and a rabid Darwinist, had a tremendous influence through his writings, his work with the British and American Humanist Associations. Ah, here comes the religion of humanism. And as the founder of UNESCO, he wrote, "There is no separate supernatural realm. All phenomena are part of one natural process of evolution." Essays of a Humanist, 1969. At the centennial celebration of Darwin's Origin of Species at the University of Chicago in 1959, Julian gave the keynote speech entitled, "The Evolutionary Vision." Well, what is their vision? He said this, "Man's destiny is to be the sole agent for the future evolution of this planet. In the evolutionary pattern of thought, there is no longer either need or room for the supernatural. The earth was not created, it evolved. So did all the animals and plants that inhabit it, including our human selves, mind and soul, as well as brain and body. So did religion. Evolutionary man can no longer take refuge from his loneliness in the arms of divinized father figure, whom he has himself created, nor escape from the responsibility of making decisions by sheltering under the umbrella of divine authority. The evolutionary vision is enabling us to discern, however incompletely, the limits of the new religion that we can be sure will arise to serve the needs of the coming era." What is this new religion? I'll tell you what it is. It is none other than Luciferian humanism to the core. It's the worship of man. It's the worship of that coming man, the Antichrist. That's what it is. You worship Christ or Antichrist. That's it. There is no in between. That's right. Julian was the first, listen to this, Julian was the first president of the British Humanist Association. Wait a minute now, what happened here? I thought evolution was just science, and it was just about learning and science. I didn't know there was a religion to it. Well, they never tell you that in the history books, do they? They never quite tell you where these people come from and what they're into, do they? No, they conveniently leave that out. Why is that? Because it's offensive. See, you will start questioning it when you see these titles. Nate, what was the original title of Population Matters again? What, do you remember what their group was called? Optimum Population Trust. Versus they changed it to be more politically correct, Population Matters. Well, Optimum Population Trust is kind of a polarizing name, isn't it? Sure is. Well, so is the British Humanist Society, isn't it? That's a little bit, man. He was the first president of it, which was devoted to living good lives without religious beliefs. I never met any of those guys yet. In 2008, this association supported the atheist bus campaign that sponsors banners proclaiming, "There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." Yeah, how's it been working out for you guys? We've been watching what the fruit that you produce. Doesn't look very good. It's evil, yeah. It is. Huxley was the co-founder of the American Humanist Association. It wasn't enough for him to be in England and to spread his trash. He had to come to America and spread his wicked, false doctrine here, his worship of man. Huxley was the co-founder of the American Humanist Association, was a signer of the 1933 Humanist Manifesto. Along with its 15 among its 15 statements were the following. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Humanism asserts that the nature of the universe depicted by modern science makes unacceptable any supernatural or cosmic guarantees of human values. Next, we are convinced that the time has passed for theism, deism, modernism, and the several varieties of new thought. Next, the distinction between the sacred and the secular can no longer be maintained. It follows that there will be no uniquely religious emotions and attitudes of the kind hitherto associated with belief in the supernatural. What's he saying? No Bible authority. Throw it out. The Humanist Manifesto even called for the control and reconstitution of all religious institutions. Well, these guys aren't militant and rabid, are they? No, see, they don't believe in liberty of conscience. They're liars. What they do want to do is they want to control, and what did it say? For the control and reconstitution of all religious institutions. Listen to this, statement 13. Isn't that a statement 13? It's kind of funny, isn't it? Kind of ironic, isn't it, that number? Rebellion against God, right? Listen to this. Religious humanism maintains that all associations and institutions exist for the fulfillment of human life. The intelligent evaluation, transformation, control, and direction of such associations and institutions with a view to the enhancement of human life is the purpose and program of humanism. Certainly religious institutions, their ritualistic forms, ecclesiastical methods, and communal activities must be reconstituted as rapidly as experience allows in order to function effectively in the modern world. What are they saying? We got to take all the God stuff you do, all the stuff about the Bible out and reconstitute for a new age. Well, it's worked, hasn't it? Well, when you go to Minneapolis and you're the only church there preaching against homosexuality and you go down and all of them got rainbow flags on their churches and they're all saying, everybody's welcome, come on in, everybody's welcome. I think it worked. What do you think? I think it worked. You know who the holdouts will be? The ones that aren't into associations and linked up to everybody. The ones that are independent, autonomous churches. The ones that have always been hated. Those Baptists. Oh, stop talking about Baptists. I know. It's okay for Protestants to talk about. It's okay for Presbyterians and Lutherans and everybody else. But boy, you start talking about those Baptists. Now stop it. That's all pride. Don't talk about Baptists. What am I proud of? The trail of blood as you murdered all of them all the way down through the centuries? No, I'm not proud of that. I praise the Lord for it, though, because that's how you can find the true saints of God. All right, he said this. In promotional literature for the American Humanist Association, Julian Huxley wrote this. I use the word humanist to mean someone who believes that man is just as much a natural phenomenon as an animal or plant, that his body, mind, and soul were not supernaturally created, but are products of evolution, and that he is not under the control or guidance of any supernatural being or beings, but has to rely on himself and his own powers. Romans 1:28 says what? Turn there, Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse number 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Huxley looked upon humanism as a religion and wrote a book entitled Religion Without Revelation. Huxley used his position as first director, general director of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, to call for a one-world religion and a one-world government in a new world vision, which Huxley wrote in 1946 as his vision for UNESCO. He said this, "Thus, the general philosophy of UNESCO should, it seems, be a scientific world humanism, global in extent and evolutionary in background." So are you saying the foundation of the New World Order is evolution? That's what it is? Yeah. That and Satanism. But the human side of it is just nothing more than humanism. They are looking for that perfect man that has ascended to godhood. That's what they're looking for. Be he God or be he man, they don't care what he is. They're looking for him to come and to take over. And they are going to get what they want. They are. It'll be Antichrist. The unifying of traditions into a single common pool of experience. Awareness and purpose is the necessary prerequisite for further major progress in human evolution. Accordingly, although political unification, some sort of the world government, will be required for the definitive attainment of this state, unification, the things of mind, is not only necessary also, but can pave the way for other types of unification. What is he saying? We want a one-world government, control all thought, all teaching, everything that comes out, everything that is produced, control all religion. Well, did it work? Well, what do you think the World Council of Churches is? What do you think 501c3 is? What do you think tax identification is? What do you think all these things are? You think they're, oh, preacher, you're just making that stuff up. It's really not that big of a deal. Come on, it's not like it was a plan from like an Antichrist plan or anything, was it? It's not like this wasn't part of the plan all along here that they've manufactured here. It wasn't like LBJ. I mean, he wasn't trying to hurt the churches at all. He was trying to help them, right? I don't know. Go back and do some research, and then we can talk. Okay. I can't fix all that in one setting. It's too much. But Julian was also a racist and a eugenicist. He was convinced that society must prevent the deterioration of quality of racial stock. Huxley's Essays in Popular Science, 1926. In 1947, Huxley said that the less desirable among mankind should not have easy access to relief or treatment. I mean, this ought to make you mad. It ought to make you mad. What is he saying? Well, you know those poor little kids over there that don't have anything? They're less desirables. They should just die. I mean, he's not saying anything different than Bill Gates said. Right. Well, if we do these vaccines just right and our healthcare system just right, we can lower the population to the desired level. Yep. Wait a minute. Did you just say you were going to poison people to kill them and you're going to use healthcare to do it? I think that's what you just said. Wow. Isn't that what Huxley said? Isn't that what Darwin said? Isn't that what Satan says? Yep. I don't know how you can try to separate the Antichrist spirit in evolution and the satanic spirit of total domination, world control, and destruction of life from evolution. You can't. It's impossible. You have to do it on purpose. But see, they don't teach kids this, do they? They don't cover this in evolution, do they, in public school? They don't cover these things. And I'm sorry, enough Christians in their curriculum, too, don't cover enough of this to really show you where this stuff actually came from. Anyway, he said, the lowest strata are reproducing too fast. Huxley said that the less desirable among mankind should not have easy access to relief or treatment. He said the lowest strata are reproducing too fast. Strata? They're called human. They're called life. They're called people. Those are living souls. Those are people you're talking about. No, they're not. They're just strata. They're just bottom feeders is all they are. Do you understand that's the religion of evolution? Let's tell these scoffers out there when we get on the streets, let's tell them the truth. Oh, really? How about like these, are they just bottom feeders? Is that what they are, these people? I'm getting sick and tired of God's people being falsely accused and these people being lifted up like they're something special when we're trying to preserve life and they're trying to destroy it. But we're the bad people because we tell them so. Bunch of liars. The lowest strata are reproducing too fast. Therefore, they must not have too easy access to relief or hospital treatment, lest the removal of the last check on natural selection should make it too easy for children to be produced or to survive. Long unemployment should be a ground for sterilization. Huxley, Man in the Modern World, 1947. And can you believe nobody knocked his teeth out of his mouth for that? How'd you like to be one of those kids? Listen, folks, you don't even understand how evil these people are. Brother Nate and I talked about this in the population control radio show. But listen, you don't understand how evil these people are. Do you realize they took poor African-American girls that didn't know anything in the South? They brought them into clinics and they sterilized them. And when they grew up and became 30 years old and got married and tried to have children, they couldn't. That's evolution. That's the truth. That's what your government did. Now wave your flag. I ain't waving nothing but this old King James Bible. With a smile on their face, just like Bill Gates does when he sticks those needles in those little babies over there and kills them. And you think you're going to force me to stick a needle in my kid's arm? Yeah, paralyze the babies and destroy them. Better make sure your needle's big enough to stick through my heart before you do it. Sorry, is that too manly? Manly alert, look out. You might want to turn the channel if you're listening and it offends you. That's right, he's rich because he's full of devils. I'm sorry, that this stuff really angers me because you're talking about just taking innocent life and killing it, yet you produce your documentaries about saving animals. Amen. You're sick. You sick, wicked, demonic people. You're sick. That's right. Understand, these wicked devils have a desire. They want to rule the world. They're looking for that superman, that man that will evolve and attain that higher knowledge, and that perfect man will come, the Antichrist. According to Huxley, the guiding philosophy of UNESCO should be what he termed world evolutionary humanism. The following article describes the philosophy in its relation to eugenics. Here it is only necessary to recall that in the last few decades, it has been possible to develop an extended or general theory of evolution which can provide the necessary intellectual scaffolding for modern humanism. Thus, even though it is quite true that any radical eugenic policy will be for many years politically and psychologically impossible, it will be important for UNESCO to see that the eugenic problem is examined with the greatest care and that the public mind is informed on the issues at stake so that much that now is unthinkable may at least become thinkable. Do you know what he's saying? Listen! Here's what he's saying to you, okay? What he's saying is we just got to slowly introduce it and program their minds. Program their minds for it. And as soon as we just feed them a little bit at a time and give them a little bit of time, then we can just drop it on them. And then we can start sticking needles in their kids. And we can start aborting their babies and murder them. We can start starving them to death. That's what we can do. Or we can, better yet, we can soft kill them to control the population. And we can dope them up and put them on so many drugs that they're so drug-induced that they will love their servitude. Hello, brave new world. Here it is. Now wake up, Christian. Wake up. It is, however, essential that eugenics should be brought entirely within the borders of science, for as already indicated, in the not very remote future, the problem of improving the average quality of human beings is likely to become urgent, and this can only be accomplished by applying the findings of truly scientific eugenics. Dr. Julian Huxley got involved in the production of, oh, by the way, okay, hang on, let me help you something. So what is a eugenicist, head of UNESCO? How could he ever be connected to Hollywood and Disney? I mean, how could that ever happen? What's a devil-possessed guy that's trying to eradicate races out there and push the promotion of... And by the way, they try to flower Julian Huxley up and say, well, he was against racism. He wasn't against natural selection according to racism. And they try to go, like, yeah, yes, you're a liar, okay? Stop it. All right, he just said it, all right? The less desirables. Who are the less desirables? He explains who they are, just like his granddaddy did, just like Darwin did, just like Bertrand Russell did, just like all of them did. They're a bunch of Luciferian devils that want to kill people. It's just as easy as that. You just tell the truth about it. They're just a bunch of Luciferian devils. They worshipped the Lucifer in the lodge, and they want to kill people. I know. You're just a raving preacher that's just screaming about everything. It's not really real. Well, it's all history. Go look it up. They don't even deny it. They just know that they've drugged America up so the Americans are so drug stupid now they can't even think anymore. Until you unplug from the programming from Hollywood, you unplug from the programming of music, you unplug from all those things, you can't see those things to think sober enough. Amen. So, Dr. Julian Huxley got involved in the production of Fantasia. Well, Aldous and Julian Huxley are well known by conspiracy researchers for their roles in the New World Order to lay the foundations for world political unity. Huxley argued that the common fundamental education is necessary for global unity to occur and advocated for improved education among underprivileged populations whose educational systems were lacking. Basically, Julian Huxley saw scientific advancements such as penicillin, DDT, and water purification as a two-edged sword. Listen, he wrote, "We can and should devote ourselves with truly religious devotion to the cause of ensuring greater fulfillment for the human race and its future destiny. And this involves a furious and concerted attack on the problem of population. For the control of population is a prerequisite for any radical improvement in the human lot." Your bunch of cattle he wants to shoot in the head and send off because there's too many of you. You haven't attained to the intellectual knowledge of those idiots, so they want to kill you. Plain and simple. What happened here? Well, Julian, and I'm going to talk about Aldous here in a second, but Julian, they went to Hollywood, and they were involved with MGM Grand and Disney Studios, and they were friends with Walt Disney, by the way. Good. Now, what's good old Walt? Uncle Mickey there. What's good old Walt? I know, I'm kicking Mickey and stomping Donald here again, and I love it. I love it. I hate Disney. They're a bunch of wicked devils. Anyway, but... why are they all together? Now, what would the Huxley boys be doing in Disney? Why would they be there? Well, because, they were connected to the CIA, and they were sent there to program you. What did he just say? He said there's a need to teach this through educational purposes. So what did they use? Hooray for Hollywood. Mm-hmm. They use what better way to catch that generation from there, and then you reach all the generations all the way up. So what did they do? They started back then in the 50s and the 60s, and they went to Hollywood. So a bunch of occultists who were friends with Aleister Crowley are making children cartoons. Is that not? I mean, just think about that for a second. Wait, are you telling me that the friends of the beast himself, 666, Aleister Crowley, they're making cartoons and tripping out on acid? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It even sounds like it almost sounds like it'd be a lie, like I'm making it up. No, I'm not making it up. Seriously, some acid tripping, wicked, devil possessed people are making cartoons, conditioning your children, conditioning you and grandma and grandpa all the way down to us to what? Accept the one world government and one world institution and everything that goes along with it. And evolutionary principles, because Disney taught evolutionary principles. He didn't teach creation. Taught evolutionary principles. And isn't it something that, yeah, circle of life, that's right. And isn't it something, man, I got to hurry up. Isn't it something, though, that these Luciferians, and that they're all connected together, and evolution is the religion of them all, and they used it to propagate their new age. And then also, what about this? And they're all linked to pedophilia and homosexuality? And Disney, the most, the pedophile capital of the world, right? and the production company that promotes pedophilia. You ever seen the sick, weird videos of Walt Disney with a little girl? And the propaganda that was being produced there and what they were doing? Or how about all the Disney princesses who all start out singing like this age and they're your daughter's ages, then they get older and turn into the most flaming whores you can ever see in your life? How'd that happen? That happened on purpose. It's called mind control, which we do not have time to get into. But we will be doing a series on the radio on mind control. But these guys, Aldous Huxley, Julian Huxley, Aleister Crowley, all involved with MKUltra mind control. Then the Disney princesses. Those girls that you see up there that everybody preaches against, and amen, I preach against it too, but I want you to understand something. They were mind controlled from this age. Right. Satanic ritual abuse was done on them from a baby on up. And that's why they do what they do. When they break their programming, they shave their head and rebel against their handlers. And then what happens? We need a court order, and they need to come to therapy. Yep. So they get a court order, send them to therapy, and do their satanic ritual abuse on them again, get them back in where they need to be, and send them back out to make millions of dollars for them. That's Disney. Hooray for Hollywood. Y'all happy? And then my critics that think I'm too strict and Pastor Cooley is too hard on preaching against Hollywood and all these things, those are just, you know, why don't you do some research, huh? Don't even use my research. I'm fine with it. Go do your own and then come back and ask for forgiveness to the Lord first and then to me for slandering me and lying about me. Just because you're not Christian enough to stand up, there are still some people here and others that will. They know the truth. They're unplugged from it. It's amazing what the Lord shows you when you unplug from the matrix, isn't it? Oh, here's an important factor here too as well. Julian also worked for British Army Intelligence. This is rich. He invented the word transhumanism. That was his. The biologist Julian Huxley is generally regarded as the founder of transhumanism after he used the term for the title of an influential 1957 article. Up till now, the human life has generally been, as Hobbes described it, nasty, brutish, and short, he said. The great majority of human beings, if they have not already died young, have been afflicted with misery. We can justifiably hold the belief that these lands of possibility exist and that the present limitations and miserable frustrations of our existence could be in large measure surmounted. The human species can, if it wishes, transcend itself, not just sporadically, an individual here in one way, an individual there in another way, but in its entirety as humanity. To evolution, all things are possible, right, to these heathens? Do you understand what he was saying? He paved the way for it. He worked on it. Okay, next, Aldous Huxley and Aleister Crowley. Who's this? All right, the grandson of Thomas Huxley, the bulldog of evolution. One went into the law and used UNESCO, United Nations, to promote and to push. And they both went to Disney because, hey, we know the best way to reach a young generation is to pervert them with Disney, right? We've seen that. So that worked out well, didn't it? How many girls are perverted now because of Miley Cyrus? How many of them are perverted now because of Britney Spears? How many them are perverted now? Wait, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And yet you still have Christians that defend this and talk about Disney in a positive way from their pulpits and talk about having going to Disney World. Right. Right, posting pictures. With Donald and Mickey, and they put their ears on. Here's my programming. Anyway. Aldous Huxley, another one of Thomas's grandsons, was a mystic. Oh, here's the spiritual side of it now. He was a mystic who believed that he was enlightened through drug use. And he was. As a young man, he discarded dogmatic religion altogether. Well, thanks, Grandpa. 20th century mystic and sages from that book. He leapt from one mystical path to another like a grasshopper. He studied hypnosis, psychic phenomena, meditation, automatic writing. Everybody know what automatic writing is? They use spirits. Just like Michael Landa did. His dead father told him his scripts. Here come the Landonites. I think they stopped listening a long time ago. He studied hypnosis, psychic phenomena, meditation, automatic writing, and other things. He was particularly drawn to Hinduism and Buddhism. The perennial philosophy, in this he discussed the teachings of various mystics and described his religious views at the time. He said they were based on direct experience, which is the mystical approach. Do you understand what that's their approach? The direct experience, not faith in the Bible, faith in the Word of God, but it's my feelings, it's my experience that I've had. You ever talk to those charismatic? I know what I felt when I spoke in tongues, when I said pookie poo. I know what you felt too because I watch it. It's stupid. Anyway, but it was in 1952 when Huxley claimed to have finally achieved enlightenment. This was through the ingestion of mescaline. He said that this experience cleansed the doors of perception. He broke on through to the other side. Right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The doors, right? Right? He continued to use drugs, including LSD, to the end of his life. On his deathbed, his wife gave him LSD and sat beside him reading the occultic Tibetan Book of the Dead. What a bedtime story that is. Huh? That doesn't seem very comforting. Here's 100 milligrams of acid in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Whoa, he must have had some crazy things going on. In his book, The Doors of Deception and Heaven and Hell, Huxley described the drug experience in terms of spiritual enlightenment. He thought that the brain acted as a filter or a reducing valve that did not allow man to readily connect with the pantheistic mind at large. Through drugs, yoga, and aesthetic practices, the brain's filtering function was weakened, allowing the individual to tap into the truth. What's that? They always have a God, but it's not the one of the Bible. That's right. Huxley has had a great influence on rock and roll and on the modern world at large. The 60s rock group The Doors were named after his doctrine. They too used the drugs as the door to another world to break on through to the other side. Huxley was associated with the Eslon Institute and had an influence on the human potential field that exploded in the 1970s and 80s. In 1937, Huxley moved to California to find work in Hollywood writing screenplays. But in the following decades, he would turn to deeper spiritual pursuits in Eastern mysticism and psychedelic explorations. These pilgrimages were recorded and expounded upon in a series of revolutionary works, including Heaven and Hell and Island. By the 1960s, Huxley was a cult figure in the drug culture he helped spawn and even inspired some of the most famous rock groups. The Beatles used his image on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts album cover. Who else was on there? Crowley and Huxley. Yeah. The Doors rock band borrowed their name from the psychedelic manifesto, The Doors of Deception, which Huxley actually borrowed from a poem of William Blake's. These guys don't have original thoughts. They just steal them from everybody. At age 72, Aldous Leonard Huxley died of cancer on November 22, 1963, the very day JFK was assassinated. It's kind of weird. In Berlin in the fall of 1930, now here's where Aleister Crowley comes in. So why are these sons of the evolution revolution connected with Aleister Crowley? Where does he come in? Well, here's what happens, okay? Thomas Huxley, no doubt, he was a high-level Luciferian Mason, okay? They initiate their children into the craft, okay? That's what they do, all right? He was above a 33rd degree, I'm sure. He was in the Royal Society, which was started way back from the Rosicrucians and everything else. So they pass this down. You pass Christianity down to their kids, Christianity down to your kids. You better be anyway. They pass down the Luciferian rites to their children. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's not a hard stretch to understand. So what happened here? So they do that, okay? So what's adult Aldous looking for? He is going around looking for power, looking for what? Knowledge, enlightenment. What do they do when they enter the Masonic Lodge? What are you here for? Light. So what was he going around? So in comes an influential man who was the most wicked man in the world at the time. And I really believe that he was for the most part. And here he comes. And who is he? He is Aleister Crowley. Okay, who definitely had an influence on the rock and roll industry, the drug industry, mind control, CIA, all of those things. Okay, all right, so In Berlin in the fall of 1930, the Beast, Aleister Crowley, entertained his old friend John Sullivan and Sullivan's friend, the writer Aldous Huxley. Crowley is usually credited with introducing Huxley to the wonders of mescaline, but he also aided Huxley's plan to interview prominent men of science. Listen, listen. On October 3rd, Aleister Crowley's diary records this: wire Einstein for Huxley. Now, why would he be having interviews? Why would all this? Well, first of all, why does Einstein know Crowley? Okay. And how does he know him that well to say, wire him? Wire Einstein for Huxley to set up a meeting? Well, I think you know why. They're all a bunch of Luciferian devils that were working together against the Bible, against biblical Christianity, and for a new world order. That's why. Wire Einstein for Huxley? Why was Huxley entertaining prominent men of science, and why did Einstein meet with Huxley, and why did Crowley know Einstein? Why? These are good questions to ask, right? Why? First of all, why does Huxley want to interview all these high-level scientists? What's the deal with that, anyway? I think we know why, because, anyway, that's in Secret Agent 666, Aleister Crowley. By the way, Aleister Crowley was British intelligence, mixed in with the occult. He would sacrifice children. He molested. He was a pedophile. He raped children. He murdered them. He murdered people. He was a killer. He was a murderer. And he was allowed in the United States. And he was allowed all over the world. It was so bad that I think, was it Mussolini? Mussolini kicked him out. He said, man, he said, you got to go. You got to get out of here, man. You're even too much for me, all right? Get out. I'm a dictator and you are too much for me. Get out of here. Leave. He couldn't kill him, obviously, because he just wasn't going to be able to. With the amount of power that man had at the time, he was very powerful. Hitler knew of Crowley as well, and it's reported that they didn't really like each other that much. They were just kind of like, you know. Anyway, what's that? A kingdom divided. That's right. Satan's kingdom is divided into many mysterious compartments. I preached on that once. Crowley divorced Rose in 1910. Now this is just to tell you who Aldous Huxley's friends are. What does this have to do with evolution? Everything. These are all the promoters of it. These are the ones that promote. This is why your classrooms have evolution right now, these men. Yeah, exactly. Not ours, but in public school, amen? In public school in the United States of America, that's why evolution is being taught. That's why depopulation is being taught. That's why all these satanic principles are being taught, because of these men rose to prominence and power and used their power against the Lord. But here's the man that Crowley was. Crowley divorced Rose in 1910 after she succumbed to alcoholic dementia and was placed in an asylum. Do you get, like, all these people that are connected to evolution keep going insane? Didn't God say that he would give them over to their own reprobate mind? He said, okay, fine. You want to think that you came from a monkey? I'll turn you into one. There you go. Listen to this. What a track record this guy had. Crowley's second wife also went insane. Well, could you imagine it? I can understand going insane being around him. And five of his numerous mistresses committed suicide. So is reported. Yeah. I think he probably killed them. But he got away with it. He got away with sacrificing children on this life, not in the one to come. The first known instance of Aldous Huxley taking mescaline was on May 5th, 1953. At age 59, the psychiatrist Dr. Humphrey Osmond provided the drug. At the time, it was still legal, and recorded the event in detail. Dr. Osmond introduced Huxley to millionaire Alfred Matthew Hubbard, who manufactured LSD on an industrial scale. Yeah, did you know that? You're gonna like these connections here. And so on Christmas Eve of 1955, Huxley took his first dose of what would soon be known as acid. Trained at Toynbee's Oxford, Aldous Huxley was one of the initiates in the Children of the Sun. You ever heard of that? The Children of the Sun, a Dionysian cult compromised of the children of British's Round Table elite. Among the other initiates were T.S. Eliot, W.H. Auden, Sir Oswald Mosley, and D.H. Lawrence. Huxley's homosexual lover. Oh, that's not surprising, is it? It was Huxley, furthermore, who would launch the legal battle in 1950s to have Lawrence's pornographic novel, Lady Chatterley's Lover, allowed in the United States on the ground that it was misunderstood work of art. Very powerful people. A major aspect of this cult, this Dionysian cult, the so-called Dionysian aspect, involved the use of hallucinogenic drugs, alcohol, and music with a hypnotic beat like much of today's pop music. Oh, well, no, they didn't need that for anything, did they? Come on, that CCM, that Christian rock, that wouldn't be an attack by Satan to get that into the churches, would it? To destroy the worship, the true worship of God, and turn the churches into the world, would it? No. Well, why would these guys use those hypnotic beats and everything? Why would they use those along with acid to trip and to reach other levels and break on through to the other side? Come on, some people were born, right? But they weren't born yesterday. They understand that this is all an attack from Satan. So he said here, this was the original intent, originally intended to stimulate the unthinking clairvoyant mode of consciousness, which allowed mankind to commune with the spirit world, visitation of the gods. This mode of consciousness was fading at that point, and mankind was gradually becoming aware of the physical world. We did not yet have the ability to reason. This is their viewpoint, which is why so much effort was devoted to obtaining the advice of the gods. Professor Julian Jayne's book, The Origin of Consciousness, is the breakdown of the bicameral mind, presents evidence of this transition. So they basically, it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. They're trying to get you to get into another altered state so you can have devils visit you like these guys did. Aldous Huxley, along with his brother Julian, was tutored at Oxford by H.G. Wells. Well, who's he? Well, he wrote one blueprint for the New World Order, right? And Huxley wrote the other one, didn't he? He was the head of British foreign intelligence during World War I and the spiritual grandfather of the Aquarian Conspiracy. Huxley, according to the Aquarian Conspiracy by EIR, was the high priest of the Dionysian opium war on America. Arnold Toynbee, a historian and intellectual guru of British intelligence who had trained Huxley at Oxford, proclaimed that the British Empire could prevent its demise if it were to devote itself to the recruitment and training of an ever-expanding priesthood dedicated to the principles of the imperial rule. D.H. Lawrence, Huxley's homosexual lover, also belonged to the Children of the Sun. In one of his letters to Bertrand Russell, a wicked man, by the way, seems to imply that they were both in a satanic cult. Huxley was also a protege of Satanist H.G. Wells, whose book, The Open Conspiracy, provided the organizing principles of the Aquarian Conspiracy. Under Wells' tutelage, Huxley was first introduced to Aleister Crowley, like we talked about, was a product of the cultist circle that developed in Britain from the 1860s under the guiding influence of Edward Lytton, a Kabbalist who held magic parties at his estate. There you go. And who wrote novels based on the occult and the ancient Isis cult. Who, it will be recalled, was the colonial master under Lord Palmerston, a Satanist during the Second Opium War in 1886. Crowley, William Butler Yeats, and several others. They were part of that Isis Urania Temple of Hermetic Students of the Golden Dawn. Around 1877, a manuscript Isis unveiled by Madame Helena Blavatsky, in which the Russian occultist called the British aristocracy to organize itself into an Isis priesthood. So wait a minute. So you have Crowley, you have Blavatsky, you have the Huxleys, you have UNESCO, the United Nations. All these people are working together against what? Creation. The Lord, right? The Bible. That's right. And that's the magic that they used. Huxley headed in the U.S. in 1937, remained for the duration of World War II. While here, again, we talked about how he wrote scripts and everything, but he organized a network of ISIS cults in San Francisco and Southern California, which included hundreds of people who venerated various pagan gods. Dope Incorporated sums it up like this. In effect, Huxley and Pederis Isherwood laid the foundation during the late 1930s and 1940s for the later LSD culture by recruiting a core of initiates into the ISIS cults that Huxley's mentor, Bulwer Lytton, Blavatsky, and Crowley had constituted while stationed in India. You see how they were all working together? They started these cults everywhere. What were they building up in California? The LSD culture, right, Aaron? You know what the LSD culture is, right? You lived in California. You know what that is. Yep. That's the culture they were raising up. In effect, Huxley, a tremendous amount of effort went into popularizing LSD and other hallucinogenic drugs. Even the CIA got into the act using various rationales, including mind control. Wait a minute, are you saying that our Central Intelligence Agency used LSD and mind control techniques on people? They wouldn't do that, would they? They already know who I am, brother. It don't matter. I'm not worried about that. I'll be here as long as God wants me here, and when I'm done, I'm done. He'll take me home. They'll have to do a lot more. If God wants me here, they'll have to do a lot more than they want to do in order to get me. Amen. I'll just keep doing what God wants me to do and tell the truth. But it is the truth. Amen. It's their history. Don't get mad at me. You wrote it. You lived it. Own it now. But anyway, the CIA got in the act, too. Huxley established contact during his Harvard period with the president of Sandoz, which at that time was working on a CIA contract to produce large quantities of LSD and other synthetic hallucinogenic psilocybin, for MK Ultra, the CIA official chemical warfare experiment. According to recently released CIA documents, Alan Dulles, he was connected to the Jesuits and the Kennedy assassination. Do we have to cover everything today? It's all connected, man. That's right. He purchased, listen to this, CIA documents show that Alan Dulles purchased over 100 million doses of LSD, almost all of which flooded the streets of the United States during the late 1960s. During the same, what's that? Yeah, that's him. Yeah, his family, yeah. They're high-level Jesuits. They're connected to the Jesuits. Yep. Yep, Knights of Malta. That's right. During the same period, Leary. No, I didn't call him that. I said Leary. Leary began privately purchasing large quantities of LSD from Sandoz as well. Huxley founded a nest of ISIS cults in South California and in San Francisco that consisted exclusively of several hundred deranged worshippers of ISIS and other cult gods. And they were ancient Zen Buddhist documents inspiring Zen mystical cults along the way. During the fall of 1960, Huxley was appointed visiting professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston. I mean, these guys are drug dealers. They're major pushers. They're Satanists. And they get hired on at these Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston. Well, sure, why not? That makes sense, right? Makes sense. That's right. He said he wanted to use education. So, hey, let's hire him. Around his stay in that city, Huxley created a circle at Harvard parallel to the West Coast LSD team. So he went to Harvard and created that in Boston. Then he went to Harvard and he created the West Coast LSD team. Or just like that, he created a group just like that. The Harvard group included Huxley, Osmond, and Watts, brought in from California, Timothy Leary, and Richard Alpert. So here in point, these wicked men taught their children to hate God and to worship Lucifer. That's exactly what they did. Evolution is the religion of Lucifer. You've got the beast, Crowley, a part of all this God-hating mess. Crowley taught Huxley to reach the spirit world through drugs. So to add to all that, you have the teaching on abortion, the God-haters, and everything else, and you have a perfect recipe for death, which is what they wanted. Huxley's death here. He became terminally ill with cancer in 1963. I wonder why. He was shooting himself directly in the arm with acid. That can't be good for the home team there, man. Just doesn't work out well, does it? On November 22nd, he was literally on his deathbed at home, unable to speak. He wrote a note to his wife, Laura, which simply said, LSD, 100 micrograms, intramuscular. Shoot it in my arm. Huxley knew death was imminent. So confident was he in his ability to deal with the effects of a powerful hallucinogen that he was taking the ultimate step in altered consciousness to cross over from life to death during an acid trip. That just would not be cool at all. Whew. Injected into his arm by Laura, the drug must have entered his brain like a freight train. In spite of this sudden change in consciousness, Huxley remained totally calm, lying in bed with his eyes closed, breathing slowly. Sometime later, Laura asked if he would like a second dose. I've not killed you fast enough. Would you like another one? He nodded in assent, and a further 100 micrograms was administered. Time passed and Huxley's breathing became calmer and softer, and he died with Laura at his side on his face, a serene smile. He wasn't smiling when he opened up his eyes in hell, when he lifted up his eyes being in torment. He died like that. Crowley died saying, "I am perplexed." These people had no hope. They died tormented and went to a devil's hell. This is what evolution leads to. This is what it does. It leads to death. This is the teaching, death and defiance and rebellion to God. It's Luciferian to the core. You see all the connections with evolution. You see these men, these high-level men that were connected to evolution. Charles Darwin, they passed on the Darwinian lineage. That's what they passed on. That's what they promoted, the religion of Darwinism. And it goes back to the Kabbalah. It goes back. I mean, I understand it's not original with him, but I'm just saying that he was the one that popularized it. It goes back to Lucifer in the Garden of Eden, if you don't know the truth of it. That's where it goes back to. But what's the Bible say? You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I think we see these Huxley boys, Satanists. Now, why would high-level Luciferians be involved with the production and producing of evolution? These God-haters, these pedophiles, these homosexuals, these wicked people. If evolution is just some theory, that it's just scientific. No, it's a religion. And they were following their religion. That's what it is. And that's what people need to understand. Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you that we've been delivered from this wicked world, Lord, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made whole. Thank you for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for victory in Christ Jesus alone. And Lord, we thank you for your word that cuts through all the nonsense and gives the truth. Cuts through all the lies and gives the truth. Help us to go take these swords out and go wage war for you out in the open air, Lord, and continue to preach the word of God to these lost sinners who need it. Help these, Lord, these messages to go out there and get out to people who need to hear them, Lord, who are trapped in evolution, even if they're scoffers at first, but they take them and they listen to them and it has an impact on their life. And you use them, the word of God reaches into their heart and shows them the truth that they're following Lucifer, they're following a lie, and they're going to end in death and hell for all of eternity. Dear God, deliver these, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.